So our reading is taken from Romans chapter 6. I'll be reading verses 1 to 7 and then 11 to 14. So Romans 6 verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. If we have been united with him like this in his death, we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection. For we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer the parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer the parts of your body to him as instruments of righteousness. For sin shall not be your master, because you are not under law, but under grace. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
I've got my timer here. Let's pray. Lord God, I pray as we look at your word that you will speak to us. We thank you, Lord, for what you did on the cross, that we can have freedom in you. Amen. So, welcome to the world of Romans. Go to the second slide there, Chris. That's the verse on the course. There's a verse for each week. So if we can read that together, that would be great. That's our verse for the day. We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. And if we go to the next slide then, Chris. Just a bit of background. You've seen this before, some of you. It was written in about AD 57. Rome, of course, was the center of the Roman Empire. Nero was emperor at the time this letter was written. Paul was actually writing to people he knew. This wasn't a letter to some strange church that he'd never seen. There were people that he had met on the way in his ministry who had come to live in Rome. And we can see that in the last chapter, lots of people that Paul had met and known. And last of all, Lincoln was founded around the same time that the letter of Romans was written. So when you next visit Lincoln, just think, when this place was first started, Romans, the letter, was written. And on to the next slide, Chris. Freedom. There is a picture of William Wallace, badly depicted by an Australian actor, Mel Gibson. But here's the question. What does freedom mean to you? What does freedom mean to the world out there? Freedom is a big issue, always has been. And at the moment in the news, we're talking about Ukraine and how much their land they're going to give up, if they are, how they're going to get peace. They want freedom. They want their land back. Freedom is an important thing. Does anyone remember the Berlin Wall coming down? Yeah, the end of communism. And yet, in a poll recently, 52% of Generation Z, which is 13 to 27-year-olds, 52% of 13 to 27-year-olds have said in a particular poll that they wish to be ruled by a dictator. That was in one particular poll. Freedom and a lack of freedom was a big issue in the Roman Empire. There were millions of slaves in the Roman Empire. Rome had a massive percentage of people that were slaves. Roman citizens surely knew what freedom meant and what freedom didn't mean to the second-class citizens and those who were slaves. Interestingly enough, over in Judea Samaria, just the other end of the Mediterranean, Jesus talks about freedom. In John chapter 8, verse 34, he says to people who were not slaves, "Everyone who sins is a slave of sin." Everybody. And Paul writes in Romans 3:23 that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So before you met Christ, you were a slave to sin. That's why it's important to have Jesus come into your life to free you from being a slave to sin. Paul writes about the amazing work of Christ in chapter 5, as we approach chapter 6. He's talking about the first Adam, how sin came into the world, and then Jesus came to bring life. Adam brought sin, and through sin comes death, and the consequences of that. Whereas Christ brought life and justification. Sin reigned in death, but grace reigns through righteousness to bring eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Paul writes to the Church of Rome about this freedom that we can have from sin. So there's 2 points, 2 hard truths. If we go to the next slide then, Chris. The first point that Paul brings to the church is belief, knowing the truth, which we'll cover in Romans 6, 1-7. And the second one, Chris, if we go to the next one, is behavior, belief and behavior. And that's living the truth. So let's have a look at the belief. It's important to get the beliefs correct, isn't it? Because without actually knowing what you're doing, it's all based on what you believe, isn't it? If the weather person says tomorrow, it's going to be a wonderful hot day, you can go to Mablethorpe, you pack your swimming trunks or whatever, and towel and sun cream, because you believe it's going to be sunny, and your behavior is based on, well, I believe that person. So your actions is based on what you believe is true. In Scripture, who is the truth? Jesus, exactly. John 14:6, Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." He is the truth. And the truth will set you free. So if you are a sinner, if you don't know Christ yet, when you accept Christ, he will set you free. He will come into your life, he will tear the chains of sin, and you will be set free. You'll be free from being a slave to sin. Paul says in verse 2 of chapter 6 that we've died to sin. The challenge for us is only you know what's going on in your life. Have you died to sin? Or are there certain sins that you just cannot let go of? We have died to sin. The second point in that belief in the truth is baptism. Paul brings up the picture of baptism. I've not seen a baptism yet, but our baptistry, for all those who are visitors, is in that room under that carpet. But what does Paul talk about with baptism? When you go down into the pool, into the water, it's a symbol that you're leaving your old self. It's you're being buried. And then you come back out the water having new life. Paul uses baptism as a symbol of us dying for Christ and also having new life through Christ. The third point about belief, knowing the truth, is Paul talks about us being united with Christ, being united with Jesus in his death and resurrection. Just as baptism symbolizes dying to sin and having new life, being united with Christ will bring us through. Paul brings in the cross and crucifixion. Our old selves were crucified with him so that our body, ruled by sin, might be done away with, in verse 6. So we've been set free from sin. We are no longer slaves. We're not sinless. We're not perfect. We're all sinners, and we'll be sinners till the day we go to glory. But what you need to know is you've been set free. You are no longer tied to this chains of sin. The Romans needed to hear this, and so do we. Because so many Christians live in defeat when they are free. Some people, when they look at themselves in the mirror, they see themselves in rags, when actually in Christ you're a prince or a princess. But we choose to wear our rags sometimes because we don't see ourselves in the way that God sees us. You're free. So maybe you're struggling with something in your life. Maybe you're struggling with sin. But know that even if you struggle, you are free. You will stand before Christ. And we all stand before God one day. And Jesus will come and say, I'm an advocate. It's okay. That person's with me. So belief, knowing the truth. So we move on to the next one, Chris, which is behavior. Living the truth. So now we know that Jesus is the truth and we can be set free. We know that baptism is a symbol of dying to Christ and coming to life in Christ. And we are united. Paul wants them to live in the light of the truth. He says, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. He's putting the responsibility on you. Sometimes in Christianity, we're quite, well, God will do everything. I'll just continue eating the donuts. God will do everything. No. Paul says, count yourself dead to sin. It's your job. Get your mindset right. It's a battle. That's why in the Lord's Prayer we say, lead us not into temptation. Because we have a battle. We have a part to play. We can't just sin and sin and sin and, oh, God will forgive me. Sin and sin and sin, God will forgive me. Who would want to do something that hurts someone they love? Nobody would. If we love Jesus, why would we do something that would hurt, that would ruin the relationship? We cannot do that. We need to count ourselves dead to sin. It's a job, a responsibility that you and I have in this relationship with Christ. We've all got free will. None of us are robots. So don't let sin reign in your bodies so that you obey its evil desires. Matthew 5, 29 to 31 talks about putting boundaries in your life. Maybe you're struggling with a sin and there needs to be boundaries. Jesus says, if your right eye causes you to sin, gouge it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to depart into hell. It has also been said, whoever divorces his wife must give her a certificate of divorce. He's talking, in this context, he's talking about adultery and how they completely missed the mark on relationships. But the context can be applied to anything. We need to count ourselves dead to sin. We have a responsibility of putting boundaries in our lives. And if we know that that program is going to cause me to stumble, don't watch it. If you know that magazine is not good for you, throw it away. If you know the person who tells those sorts of jokes that are a bit risque, don't spend time with that person. If you know someone who's a very negative, critical person, and it rubs off on you, don't spend time with them. It's as clear as day. You have a responsibility for your relationship with Christ. You just can't sit back and let Christ do all the work. He's done the hard work, you're saved. But it's a relationship, and relationships takes two people. We have a responsibility to count ourselves dead to sin. And we all know the verse from 1 Corinthians 6, 19-20. Don't you know that your bodies are a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you receive from God? You're not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. What you think, what you do, what you say, your motives are really important to God. And we need to count ourselves dead, hold on to Christ, and he will hold us fast. We will fail at times. But remember this. You were once a slave to sin, but you are a child of God. So as we finish and we go to communion, I want you to be encouraged, because you are in a battle. It is a spiritual battle. Satan will remind you of your past. He'll come along, like in that video, the person in black, he'll come along and say, you are disgusting. Do you remember the things you did? Next time Satan reminds you of your past, you just remind him of his future. Just remind him of his future. And if you're struggling with an addiction of some kind, take it to the Lord in prayer. He is with you in that battle. And we can pray for you today. I can, or someone on the leadership can pray for you today. It says in 1 Corinthians 10, no temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind, and God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what he can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. Don't let your identity be set in sin. Your identity is in Christ. It says in 2 Corinthians 5:17 that you are a new creation. The old is gone, the new is here. You are no longer to live in the guilt of your past. You are forgiven, a new creation. If you don't know Christ, turn to him today. You can be forgiven. You can be a new creation. God will take the chains and he'll break them and say, look, you are no longer a slave to sin. You're mine. So let's come to the Lord now in prayer as we approach the table of our Lord, communion. Let's pray. So Lord, we know and we believe, and many of us have been believers for many, many decades and years. But Lord, we want to also live for you. Help us to count ourselves dead to sin. Lord, help us to cast aside the things that are stumbling blocks. Lord, if there's a particular sin in our lives that is stopping us from getting a clearer view of you and closer to you, then Lord, we cast that aside, because Lord, you are there to help us move that. Lord, you want a relationship with us. And Lord, if anyone here doesn't know you at this moment of time, I pray that they will say, Lord Jesus, come into my life. Cleanse me from my sin and break the chains of sin so that I can be free. Amen.